How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To coast.
All right, Carver High, we go into hour number three here, and we're still focused on football at this stage. Later, a double shot with our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan, this very hour.
Yes, a lot more to do around the NFL training camps. I did want to let you know, Cam did mention it, 4-2 Dodgers now. Mookie Betts with a three-run homer, Scotty, to put the Dodgers back on top, 4-2 there against the Giants in San Francisco. Let's go to New Orleans first here to start the hour. It's been a very long time, Scotty, since wide receiver Michael Thomas has played football. I mean, Drew Brees was still the quarterback the last time Thomas actually played. Here is new Saints head coach Dennis Allen, happy to see Thomas actually on the field practicing.
It was awesome. It was awesome. Seeing him, you know, get a few routes, you know, actually go up against a defender. I thought he looked good in the plays that he got. I was excited about seeing that.
Actually playing.
And I think it's another step in the right direction.
I mean, this guy is just doomed down there. It's like, it's so far removed from Sean Payton, isn't it?
Look, I think that that's another team I'm going after this year. Give me the unders. Give me the miss the playoffs. I'm not buying the Saints this year with no more Brees and no more Peyton. I know it's been a year removed with Brees already, but I'm not a believer in Winston coming off the injury either, Scotty. Speaking of Winston, he invited a high school football team to practice this week. And the Wright High School.
Not just any team.
The Carver High football team was at practice with the Saints, invited by Winston. So nice job by him. Down
I can't
there,
believe you didn't show the
kids.
Video on a Carver
the
High
kids at Carver High. Yeah, it was a lot of yelling and screaming. I mean, it was just too much going on there. I'd rather have you watch Dennis Allen squirm about Michael Thomas actually playing. I thought it meant more to the show. How about Robert Saleh, the head coach of the New York Jets? Let's go to him. We know that he has Zach Wilson going into his second year as the quarterback, but he feels, Scotty, he also has another starting quarterback on his team. That would be old man Joe Flacco. Here's Saleh.
When you see him on the field, we've seen some of the throws he's made. Are you guys almost, or are you surprised that you were able to get him in a role where he is pretty much going to be this team's backup and he's not somewhere competing for a starting job?
He should be, in my opinion, he could start in this league. I believe that. He's, you know, sometimes this league has a tendency to pigeonhole people or put labels on people and then their opportunities kind of get limited, but Joe Flacco is a starting quarterback in this league. He's really, really talented.
Well, he was. I'll give you that. And he won a Super Bowl, so, I mean, that's all that matters, but I don't agree with him anymore. So that ship has sailed.
It sure has. If somebody thought that Joe Flacco could still actually be a starting quarterback in this league, Scotty, he would be. Because take a look at some of the guys that are starting quarterbacks around. They would get Flacco in the mix if he could actually still play. Big day for the Steelers, Scotty. They give Deontay Johnson 2 years, $36.7 million. Of course, he was looking for a new deal, looking for some new money, and they take care of that for him. We've seen a lot of wide receivers get deals here in the offseason. Deontay, add him to the pile, 2 years, $36.7 million. I'm going to get
that's
you
a good
to
price.
Tomlin next. Was a good price for 2 years. That's a good price for Johnson. I think it's the right amount of money, too. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates, Pharrell Coast to Coast, on a Thursday, SiriusXM 159, Sports Map and Sports Byline. Here's Tomlin yesterday, Scotty. Loving camp, loving the competition, gives his vets a couple of days off here and there because they deserve it. And, of course, at the end of this clip, don't ask me about the quarterbacks. I'm not talking about it. Here's Mike Tomlin.
I'll do that from time to time, and you guys know our approach there. It's less about those guys, to be quite honest with you. And it's just a means of thinning the lines and providing more opportunities for younger guys. And, you know, we're going to treat everybody fairly. We're not going to treat everybody the same. More veteran players need less reps in order to be game ready. Younger players need more. And so we think of unique ways to provide everybody with what they need. We're just thoughtfully mixing it up, making those guys adjust, putting them with different groups, getting to watch them in different groups, and it'll continue.
Is that a similar mentality with a left guard position, and how do you kind of assess that battle with Kendrick and Kevin?
Very similar, and still too early to tell. Both guys are working well.
What about the other guys in the huddle? As different quarterbacks, they get different faces in there. How are the other guys on the offensive side adapting with other quarterbacks?
You'd have to ask them.
Oh, Jesus.
We don't treat everyone the same. We don't treat everyone differently. I like that. Tomlin, he's been doing this a long time. I would never question him. I had this for you yesterday, but we never got to it. So let's do the Steeler win total. Of course, FanDuel always does that win total Wednesday. How about win total Wednesday on a Thursday? 7.5 for the Steelers. There's the schedule on the left-hand side of it there, Scotty. I'm on the over for the Steelers this year, 7.5. Over.
I'm always on the Steelers over 7.5. At worst, 8. At best, 10.
And what do we got there? I see in like the little top portion of that schedule, maybe around when the calendar turns to October, we got the Steelers coming to Orchard Park again this year. Another Steelers-Bills game on the calendar. A little revenge for last year when the Bills couldn't get it done in the second half against the Steelers.
I think the Bills are going to win that game, and they're going to have a big second half.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You got to get the BetMGM app. Do you know you can bet $10 on any major league game and win $200 if either team hits a home run? All you have to do is use the bonus code MLBHR2022. That's MLB home run 2022. Bet 10 bucks, you get 200 if anybody hits a home run from either team. Get the BetMGM app now. All right, Carver, hi. We continue with more NFL, Skinny.
Yes, let's do that. One more thing from the Steelers for you. They gave kicker Chris Boswell 4 years, $20 million extension, ties Justin Tucker as the highest paid kicker average per year in the league. Boswell deservedly getting money, Scotty. He's been good for the Steelers for a while.
He's been a great kicker for them. I don't think he's worth Tucker money, but they gave it to him anyway. At least they paid somebody, because I think they pretty much fleeced Johnson today. All these other receivers are making, you know, $30, $40 million. They gave this guy $18 million.
I think he's getting – I don't know if I could put him with those other guys yet, but he's getting there. I think this was a nice deal. That's why I think 2 years was good. Because if he continues to get to the level – of the Metcalfs and the Samuels, then a year and a half from now, he can re-up and get more money. So I think getting his money for now, not a bad move for him. Let's go to Chicago, Scotty, where the Bears, of course, are expected to be one of the worst teams in the NFL this season. Justin Fields entering his second year as the quarterback in Chicago. And the word around town has been that the Bear offense has been brutal during the start of training camp and practices, not looking sharp at all. Justin Fields, though, Scotty, he doesn't care what people, fans, critics, or anybody else thinks. They're doing what they need to do. Here's Fields.
You said you don't care about like the outside noise of the game, but is it tough in training camp when so much of this is public?
Thrilled.
Everyone's watching the development, and it's always not, and it's not as smooth as they like.
I mean, they're not playing, so I mean, it doesn't.
He looks
really
like
matter.
He's gonna
they're
tip over.
Us, so not.
I mean,
it's really no.
But you see progress where maybe others might not, you know, because it does, you know.
I mean, we know the thing is, we know our offense, we know the plays. We know what's supposed to be going on, but I mean, it's hard to have an opinion on something when you don't really know what's going on the inside when you're just looking at it from an outside view. So, I mean, yeah, it's stuff like that. But of course, you know, they want to see big plays, this and that. But, you know, we're playing situational football. We're, you know, 3rd and 4. We're getting the first down. We're not worried about a touchdown at the moment. We're trying to get the first down first. And if a touchdown comes out of it, then yeah, that's what it is. But, you know, it's, I mean, that's why you really can't. You know, take their opinions into account, which, I mean, you know, they're entitled to have their opinion, but at the end of the day, like, they don't know what's going on.
Well, I know what's going on. It's that the Bears haven't done anything since 1985.
Yeah, that's it. Look, and just watching that, like, you just got the feeling it's going to be a long year.
Now, he don't even care, man. He's got bags of money, and he doesn't even care.
We haven't even played the first preseason game yet, and Fields is already like, I mean, you gotta be kidding me here. I mean, get me out of here. I want no part of this. Like, this is just brutal. That should be fun this year in Chicago. Detroit, Scotty, everybody is a trendy pick to have a big season. Year number two.
Stop.
With Dan Campbell at the helm. He feels that the culture change has turned the corner in Detroit, and things are starting to happen. I will tell you, and me and you talk about this all the time, neither of us have watched the Hard Knocks show in a long time. It stopped being good probably 8-10 years ago when all the teams started to, like, purposely not say anything important in front of the cameras. They knew they were there. They might pull me in for this one because this guy's a nutcase, and I already saw, like, the first clip of him, like, you know, screaming at the guys, pumping them up in, like, the meeting room, like, I think he might be worth the price of admission to actually watch that dopey show this year. He might be.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. You yank clips from it for the show here, and you can save me the time of something I've never watched once. I don't watch that show. It is what it is. I'm sorry, I just don't get into it. And I got to tell you, the Lions have sucked since I was in my mother's womb. In 1965, I was born, okay? So you do the math. I mean, they suck always. I refuse to allow them to have this stupid Thanksgiving adventure every year that ruins my day. There's nothing worse than turning the TV on at noon and watching that team for 3.5 hours. I mean, honestly, it spoils my dinner. It can make me start drinking. Like, just having them on the TV on Thanksgiving, I got to drink a bottle of Jameson. I mean, honestly, anything. I'll eat pills. You remember when I knocked Granny out with the 100-milligram gummy bear? She tipped over like a tree. She was out for 8 hours. I thought it said 25 milligrams. It was a 4-bar.
I'll be loving that game this year, considering the Bills are going to drop a 40-burger on them in the early game on Thanksgiving. So the Bills Lions to start off turkey. The Bills are playing the Lions on Thanksgiving Day this year.
Oh, God.
Yes. The Bills. Third year in a row on Turkey Day for the Bills. You sent me this morning the leaders for the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. I have those odds for you if you want to see them. I tied that in, of course, to Hutchinson with the Lions being right there near the top, along with Kayvon Thibodeau of the Giants. You've got Walker in there, Kyle Hamilton, Stingley in the mix. Lots of guys there.
Mafia, I'm with you here. Sauce Gardner, what is he, 12-1? I can't see.
12-1. 12.
There you go.
12-1
for Sauce. I got it right. I like sauce.
There it is. So, yeah, putting a little sauce down here for the Defensive Rookie of the Year. I like it. Okay. Ezekiel Elliott not expected to play in any preseason games, nor should anybody who's a starter on any team. None of them should play in any.
Speaking of not mattering anymore.
Yeah, he's reaching that category as well. Has not been good
and
for
him. And he's only 27. He's 27 going on 37.
Cowboys also signed former Viking linebacker Anthony Barr, as they are looking for help in the linebacker core. Hollywood Brown of the Cardinals, he had a bad day yesterday. He was doing a buck 25 out there in Arizona, Scotty. They did not like that. They had to take him in. Cliff Kingsbury said he knows he's making a mistake. He knows he made a mistake. Talking about
bro,
a buck 25. That's serious.
Listen, I was in that 9/11 GS3. He was doing a buck 90. And there's no hook on the side of the door. You know, all these cars now have that hook, and people hold on when they're scared in their backseat driving, and they're over there in the passenger seat. I'm in this Porsche 911, and this cat's doing a buck 90. I got to tell you, I was scared to death. I said, DKF, bro. He goes, what's DKF? I said, don't kill Pharrell.
I'm going to try to get you the Nathaniel Hackett tomorrow. I'm out of time. I did want to do Saban today, though, because it was too good. Let's try to squeeze Saban in, Scotty, before we are done here. He was on one of your favorite stations yesterday, the Jocks in Birmingham. You love it down there. WJOX, the Jocks. Here Saban says that last year was a rebuilding year despite making the national title game.
Last year we had kind of a rebuilding year. So we should have 9 starters back on offense, 9 on defense, but 6 guys go out early for the draft. So now we have 5 back on offense and 7 back on defense. So that in and of itself creates a few more question marks, but it also creates opportunity for other players to be able to shine in the program and contribute in a positive way.
Come on.
In Portuguese, that means they're going to win the national championship.
Exactly. He thought last year was a rebuilding year. I've got all these starters coming back. Look out. They're going to be a beast. I feel like, Scotty, we have not really gotten a ramp into college football yet on Coast to Coast, and I think that starting next week, we need to change that. I think that we need to start ramping into college football futures next week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Adam Kaplan, of course, is our NFL insider on Sports Grid and Coast to Coast, and you see him regularly here on C2C. He's back from the West Coast in Philadelphia from his trip to see the Rams and Chargers. He had it all going on. He got home safely, thank God. And we're talking first here today about the latest on the Watson situation in Cleveland, and we know that the commissioner has made a move.
Yeah, so look, you and I have talked about this. We knew this is coming. We explained a couple weeks ago that the commissioner could be the appeals officer. He could if he wanted to, but he decided not to. He's assigned it, the designee, if you will, to Peter Harvey, who has a relationship with the league. He's a former federal prosecutor, also the former New Jersey Attorney General. So he has dealt, Pharrell, with these type of cases before in terms of the personal conduct policy. He's actually worked with the NFL on it before. So he has a previous relationship. We knew the NFL was going to get someone they knew. So they want a favorable ruling. They don't want the 6 games, as we talked about. This is going to Hoyle, right? Just exactly as we said it would. And now this is going to happen soon. Harvey's got to hear this appeal relatively soon, as mandated by the CBA. Now, the only Hail Mary, if you will, that the NFLPA and you and I have talked about this is they could appeal, they could take this to a higher court eventually. But the problem is federal courts do not like getting involved in collectively bargained cases. They just don't like doing it. They don't like getting involved in it. So I got to be honest with you, this is a long shot for Watson to play anytime soon. We know it's going to be more than 6 games that the NFL wants. They want at least a season. And that's where we're at. And we know that Jacoby Brissett will be the starter this season for the full season. And they've made this decision no matter what the speculation about Jimmy Garoppolo is. They're not on him. It's going to be Jacoby Brissett filling in for Watson. So, look, the Browns knew this, that this could be the potential. They knew everything that you and I knew. And here we are. The settlement talks, as I understand it, went nowhere from several weeks ago. And right now, this is where it stands with Peter Harvey, who's going to hear the appeal soon. And we know, and by the way, one thing we should add here, he's got to go by only the information that Sue Robinson, the former federal judge, had to give out the six games. He cannot take in any other information. That's very important for people to understand. He's going to use all the information that Sue Robinson had. And she, of course, turned in her opinion this week, which is six games.
Well, I want to start with, she already made it clear that he sexually assaulted women. And that's one thing she made clear. She said he was egregious. She said many things. Her decision, the result of her thorough investigation, led to a anemic six-game suspension, which was not tolerated by the league or Goodell, and now he's got Harvey. You're right about a higher court. They want no part of a CBA, a collectively bargained agreement that was already made between two parties. Why get involved when they already made their minds up that they agreed on these things previously? It makes all the sense in the world why they wouldn't. What makes no sense to me is that knowing that they're going to lose this guy for more games, it's clearly going to go at least 10, 12, or a whole season. That's where it's headed. You know that. So why wouldn't they get Garoppolo? Because I am never going to sit here and listen to anyone sell me that Jacoby Brissett is nothing more than a stopgap, and I heard all these people today saying he'll easily win three of the first four games. My ass. That is not guaranteed anywhere. Where does that come from? Like down the river? I just don't understand that at all. I would get Garoppolo immediately and get this problem over with.
Yeah, they definitely, as I understand, are not interested in making a trade for him. And we'll get to Garoppolo later in our second segment because I just came back from the Niners camp. So, look, the Browns are in a tough situation. And here's the way the league sees Jacoby Brissett. Low-end starter, high-end backup. If he had to play a 17-game season, they're going to be below average. They're going to be below 500. You and I have talked about this. It's just not good enough. And, again, I don't know why they felt the need to trade Case Keenum, who really did well with Kevin Stefanski in 17.
You're right.
When they got to the championship game against Philly. I mean, think about that, Pharrell. So to me, it makes no sense, but they're in a tough position because 2 years ago, you and I were on coast to coast, blown away by Stefanski and Baker Mayfield. It's unbelievable what's changed since then.
I got to tell you, the prospects of Dobbs or Rosen and this guy, Brissett, to me, is like having a stomach ache. And knowing you got about 5 minutes to get to the header. I mean, this is a disaster waiting to happen. I don't care what anybody says. Let's talk about Canton. We got a Hall of Fame game tonight. No one that matters will be playing. Should be an awful game by the second period.
Yeah, we in Canton, Ohio, on the grass. And look, here are the storylines, folks, for those of you who are going to be watching like us, because there's no other football game on. But you got the debuts of Doug Peterson and Josh McDaniels. Two guys on their second stints. Doug Peterson, from obviously a coach for Philly, his five-year stint. Look, he had three winning seasons. Did a lot better than Josh McDaniels did. In fact, he won a Super Bowl in 2017. And McDaniels, see, here was the problem, Pharrell, when he was the Broncos head coach. He was 33 years old, and he was given personnel control. That was a major mistake by ownership of the Broncos, and he got fired before the second season ended. He had an 11-17 record. He's learned a lot. I've talked to people who've worked with him before. He's learned a lot from the situation. He's grown from there. And it is interesting that both head coaches take over from some controversial previous head coaches. Urban Meyer, obviously in Jacksonville. Of course, John Gruden with the Las Vegas Raiders here. And as you said, very few starters going to play tonight. The Jaguars already made the decision that Trevor Lawrence wouldn't play. And unfortunately, Travis Etienne, I know a lot of Jaguar fans would like to see him. He will not play tonight. He's doing great. In fact, I was told he was running in the spring, and he's been practicing well at training camp. There's nothing wrong. That broken foot is healed, but he will not play in this game. And if he plays at all in the preseason, it will be very sparingly. And also, remember now, with the new rules here in the preseason or the offseason, you only play three preseason games. But these teams get the extra game. They play before everyone else does. So they actually get four games where the other teams play three. And don't forget, though, some of these teams – will get extra work here because they started earlier than the other teams. Remember, they got in a week before the other teams did, so there's absolutely no need to play the starters in this game.
Let me ask you, you know, if he had his druthers, do you believe that Mark Davis wishes that John Gruden were still the head coach of the Raiders? And even though he's got Josh now running things, it is what it is. I mean, you have to admit, Gruden had him going in the right direction finally for all that money they gave him. They started winning. And then I don't believe they, you know, went to the playoffs because of any other reason than he had them going the right way. I thought they were a really decent football team with Carr. Do you think he misses Gruden?
A couple of things on Mark Davis and Gruden. They were very close, okay? They had known each other for years. Obviously, John was the former head coach before he was traded to the Buccaneers. The fact of the matter is, when you look at this situation, Mark Davis did not want to bring back Rich Bisaccia, despite how great of a job he did. A special teams coach kept everything together for the Raiders. He should really be the head coach. I'm talking to various Raider people. He did a phenomenal job of keeping that team together with all sorts of turmoil. And they somehow won that Sunday night game, the last game of the regular season, over the Chargers, who I visited last week, are going to be a good football team. But here's the thing, though, Farrell. You know, you ask him if he misses him. He had no choice but to get rid of him. I mean, he had to leave. John had to leave. He could not stay there. We know that Gruden is suing the NFL. He's still mad at those emails being leaked. It bothers him. I talked to someone very close to him this past weekend. The bottom line is the Raiders, this is a new beginning in Las Vegas. They got to keep the turmoil down. And Derek Carr and this offense should be high-powered under Josh McDaniels. I could tell you, organizationally, they're very happy with Josh McDaniels because he brings a lot of energy. He's obviously younger than Gruden, and this is his second time around. This will be his last time. He needs to get the job done, but he's a talented coach. And let's see if he could buck that trend of the former coaches and executives for the Patriots who have not had a lot of success. This guy's a good coach, and I'm sure he's learned a lot from his previous failure.
How highly do you think of Peterson after your dealings with him in Philly?
Did a remarkable job. One of the things that most people forget, Farrell, is he had a losing record in year one in 2016 and then somehow won the Super Bowl, which rarely happens. In fact, it's only happened a couple times in NFL history. So he's a guy who's developed quarterbacks. He's got Trevor Lawrence, who needs to be developed. It was a tough rookie season with all the turmoil under Urban Meyer. And he's the exact opposite of Urban Meyer. He's a player's coach. Players believe in him because he's good to his players. He's a former quarterback we know in the National Football League. Brett Favre's longtime backup. Once was a starting quarterback for the Dolphins under the Hall of Fame coach Don Shula. The good thing is there's a lot of positivity around the team where it was unbelievably negative. You and I talked about this. Urban Meyer had such a pall over that organization. Things are a lot better there, but this is what we call for a turnaround program. It is going to take a long time for the Jaguars to have a winning record, and they've only had one in almost two decades. Remember, in 2017, they came out of nowhere. They were within a couple of plays of getting to the Super Bowl with Blake Bortles as their quarterback when they should have beaten the Patriots.
Can you believe that he won the Super Bowl and a couple years later he was gone and that he ends up in Jacksonville with a basic, you know, start over? Let's just face facts. Oh, yeah. It's from the ground up. Hopefully here he'll be given the time to coach as good as he can coach, which he wasn't afforded in Philly. I got 15 seconds here before we break.
He absolutely will be given. There will be patience. Shad Khan, the owner, knows it. Shad has been impatient. He made a mistake hiring Urban Meyer, and this is a Super Bowl winning head coach who's been part of a turnaround program starting 2020.
We have a lot more coming up with Adam.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're talking to our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan, on Coast to Coast on a Thirsty Thursday. So let me go back for a second to Mr. Khan, who you said he's had, you know, flashes of, you know, let's just say restlessness and impatience with coaches in the last few years. I mean, the thing with Urban Meyer was just an absolute just sinking ship. I mean, it went down faster than the Titanic. But I have to say, he has got to show some, you know, calm here. He's got to stay out of it. He's got to let this guy coach, and he's got to stick his nose in none of this business over the next 3 or 4 years. He cannot keep changing coaches every year down there. The franchise has been an embarrassment, and it's been going on now for well over a decade and a half of just intolerable football. They have got to let this man do his thing, because I think he actually is a real good teacher and coach. I think Khan has to step aside, let his football people run the team, and let this guy coach.
Yeah, a couple things here on Doug Peterson and the Jaguars. Back in 2017, when Carson Wentz tore his ACL, and just to give you an idea of the calm that Doug Peterson brings, someone high up in the Eagles organization told me that when they were flying back from Los Angeles, they actually won the division, the NFC East, that Sunday night in December of 2017, and everyone was somber because they knew they lost their star quarterback, Carson Wentz. He came into the building and said, "We're going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine." And people were like shocked that he said, "How can you say it? We just lost our starting quarterback." He goes, we're going to get Nick Foles ready. And he did, with help, obviously. Doug put together a very good staff then. But the fact of the matter is, this is, as you said earlier, and you're right, it's a turnaround program. This is going to take years to get this right. They've got to develop this roster. They're extremely young, which is a good thing. They have a fan base that's dying for a winner. They've had very few winning seasons. We know about when they shocked the world in the late 90s with Mark Brunell and Tom Coughlin when they got to the AFC Championship game. But they've had very few winning seasons. You're right. And it's they've got to show patience. I thought you said that very well with Shad Khan. The thing about Khan is, I'll say this about him, he's willing to spend the money. That's not the problem. He doesn't understand football, though. You know, as being a Steeler fan, how many head coaches have they had in the last 50 years?
You can count them on 3 fingers.
Exactly. That's it. That's why they win. Be patient. You're absolutely right.
Continuity. They have to establish and give this guy a window to prove what we already know. We already know the guy can coach. We already know he's got the goods. We already know he's got the ring. We already know what he's done in predicaments like losing a star quarterback and putting a backup in and winning a Super Bowl, for Christ's sakes. What more do you need to know? Give this guy 5, 6, 7 years. And I believe at that window, let's say toward the end of that window, 4, 5, 6, somewhere in that window, I say they start winning. This guy Lawrence has talent. ATN, we haven't seen him yet. You're right, he spends money. They, believe it or not, have fans down there. I had a buddy that lived in Orlando that would drive up there to all the games. He had season tickets to the Dolphins and the Jags. I think people want to believe in them and want them to win. They've got to show the patience. Let's talk about the Steelers now and the deal that they gave Deontay Johnson today. Did you like those numbers?
Yeah, I did. So this is interesting. So I'm told that they were talking to Johnson and his agent for about 2 weeks. You know, we had the hold-in where he was working out on the side but not practicing. This is sort of the new thing now around the National Football League with guys on the final year of their deal. They don't practice while they're trying to get a deal done. It really closed in the last day. It didn't look good. In fact, he wanted a longer deal. But I'm told they could not agree on the average per season or the guarantees. So they took a shorter deal, which is really what he proposed. And it's kind of mirroring, you mentioned Jacksonville, one of the deals that Jacksonville did, Christian Kirk, which is about $18 million a year. This is just over $18 million, $27 million in total guarantees. I'm told the signing bonus is $17.5 million. And they find a way to get this done. In fact, I remember the fans were like, well, he's not getting a new deal because the Steelers drafted George Pickens, who had really a lot of first-round grades around the league, but that was unfounded. The Steelers were open to it. Actually, Johnson approached them about extending because, you know, historically they don't extend deals for wide receivers. They make them play the deal out, but good for the Steelers and good for Johnson and his agent, Brad Sakala, to find a way to get this done. This is a good deal for him because if he continues to play well, and he's been good every year, I know we don't bet Roethlisberger anymore. You've got two young quarterbacks. But the fact of the matter is he's been good every year. He's been a great story of development as a former third-round pick. He'll be 29 when this deal ends, and he'll be able to sign another one. So he's been healthy. He's been able to play through injury, and he's done a great job. And he joins DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, and Hunter Renfrow, who all sign extensions for that 2019 wide receiver class.
I have to tell you – I've been hearing out of St. Vincent's that Pickens has been unbelievable.
It's true. No, he's a stud. In fact, here's what happened with him. Two things. Tore the ACL over a year ago, came back late last season with Georgia. He's healthy. Some maturity issues, I'm told, that knocked him out of the first round. Teams were a little bit worried about not trouble off the field, but taking this job seriously, doing all the things you're supposed to do. He's done that so far. He's been dominant. You're absolutely right, I'm told. And they're loaded. Your Steelers are now, right now, with Deontay Johnson, Pickens, Calvin Austin, who's a really stud talent. He's a little bit smaller.
He's good.
Out of Memphis. I saw him at the Senior Bowl. And Chase Claypool, look, he's talented. He's another second-round pick. But remember now, he had maturity issues last year. Remember, he got benched in that overtime game last year at Minnesota. But they are super talented. Najee Harris, of course. Trubisky now has the large lead on Pickett, but they're going to give Pickett a little bit more work with the first team. We'll see if he can make a run at it, but they are super talented on offense. This team is going to be fun to watch because they are getting younger.
I got to tell you, lastly, I think Freiermuth's the best of all of them. I mean, this guy catches everything they throw to him. I couldn't even believe he fumbled that at the 30 in the Lions game that ended up a tie in the rain. I was sitting there in the rain all day, and he's their best receiver at the end of the day. Claypool had a horrible year. Johnson's drop passes, too. Everybody knows it. He makes big catches, but he drops catches, too. Freiermuth doesn't drop anything, and then he fumbles the ball when they were about to win that game. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, 2 years ago, Johnson led the NFL in drops. Not last year. He did a phenomenal job. That's why I extended it. You know, the only real issue they have on offense is their offensive line, which has been sort of rebuilt over the last couple of years. Defensively, they're going to be good. I like the signing of Larry Ogunjobi. He's a good pass rusher. They had to kind of rebuild their front there. Back end, they're okay. Corner, not great. We know they're good at safety. This team's going to be somewhere around 9 or 10 wins. They'll be better than last year, a little bit better, I think, than last year. And then the big thing on offense, so watch Matt Canada be more wide open with their offense. There's only so much you could do with an older quarterback like Roethlisberger. But Matt Canada was a terrific OC in college. I'm looking forward to what he could do here with Trubisky and Pickett.
So how do the Niners look in camp?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. This team, like the Chargers, is stacked. No doubt about it. They're very strong on both sides of the football, very good in special teams. But Trey Lance, who's now in his second year, let's not forget Pharrell. And why you talking about patience with the Jaguars and their quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. Trey Lance has only played 3 games the last 2 years. Two last years with the Niners. He also hurt his finger. And only one 2 years ago at North Dakota State. And I'm told by an NFL GM, quote, like the kid, big upside, major project. And he said, the kid is very raw, needs work, needs refinement. I saw that yesterday. Major arm, good athlete. He reminds me, Pharrell, of Josh Allen in 2018 with the Bills. Superior athlete, issues with accuracy. This is the issue right now with Trey Lance. It's not the talent. He's supremely talented. It's accuracy. There needs to be patience. There's going to be a run game here with Kyle Shanahan, just like his dad. What they do is run the football. So he's got a ways to go. He's their starter. And the really odd thing is, we talked about Garoppolo in the first segment. He's working out on the side. He will not practice. They have this interesting relationship. They had a long talk with Garoppolo. They've agreed if he wants to come in and work out and throw a little bit on the side, he's allowed to do that. He can go in meetings if he wants to, but he will not practice. And they have not decided what they're going to do with him, whether they're going to release him soon or wait to see if a quarterback gets hurt. We're ready in August. We saw back in 2016 when Teddy Bridgewater got hurt in a freak accident at practice with the Vikings, and Eagles had tremendous leverage, trading Bradford, got a first and fourth round picks from the Vikings. They could wait to do that. But the bottom line is right now they don't want to trade him, and not that the Seahawks are interested, but they really have not found a team to take that $24.2 million deal. But I'm told absolutely positively he would have been traded in March had he not had to have that right shoulder surgery. It's a shame, but he had to have it, and here we are.
So yesterday I said some things about Samuel, and I think they were misinterpreted by fans of the show that watch the show, in that I said the question will be if Lance can give him the ball and that he can find him and that he can hit him. Accurately give Debo the ball and let him do his thing. After catch, the most dangerous player, in my opinion, in the NFL is Samuel. In the backfield, dangerous. In the slot, dangerous. As a receiver, dangerous. Hell, I'd let him run back kicks, dangerous. But I said the key will be this young quarterback finding him as much as Garoppolo did. Garoppolo always found Samuel. Do you believe Trey Lance will be able to find Samuel as much as Garoppolo did and utilize his brilliant speed and talent at hands and ankle breaking?
The way that they're going to do it, I'm told, is this. They're going to analyze Lance through training camp in the preseason. If he's still having issues with mechanics, we know they're going to run the ball. That will help take the pressure off of Lance, but they're going to find throws that they know he can make. Short, intermediate throws. The long throws, his accuracy is not very good. He just doesn't have the timing down yet. He needs reps. And that is why the decision was they were not going to have a competition. They're going to go with Lance. Remember how much competition they gave up. They gave up a ton to trade way up to get him. And don't forget about Brandon Ayuk. Great rookie season in 2020. Fell off a little bit. Had to grow up a little bit. Kyle Shanahan coached them hard last season. We're going to talk more about Ayuk next week when I put together my training camp all-stars. I'll just tell you, Ayuk was absolutely dominant in Thursday's practice, and I'm told this is not his only great practice, but they've got a good offensive line. They're very well coached. Niner fans, just be patient. It's not going to happen overnight with Lance, but they got the right coaches to develop him.
All right, so we talked about Doug Peterson, but we really didn't talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. And from what you're saying to me, they have some injury problems already in camp.
Yeah, they were pretty healthy the first week. Now, I was there earlier today. This is their longest practice of camp. And it was 2 hours for all, which is kind of funny because 2 hours was short back when I started covering the league. They were like 3 hours back then, but this was 2 hours. And both left tackles were out. It's odd. They both suffered concussions. Jordan Mailata, the starter, his backup, the former first-rounder, Andre Diller, both suffered concussions, so they're going to be out a bit. And Devontae Smith, okay. His groin tightened up, so they held him out today. A.J. Brown has been unbelievable, I'm told, in practice. I've been to four practices, but he's been great and dominant every practice. No one could really handle him. Even the great Darius Slay cannot handle Brown. He's been tremendous. In fact, I would say he's been the most physical receiver, Pharrell, since Terrell Owens in 2004 and 2005. And
whoa.
He's been dominant. Yeah, he has been incredible, I'm told. This guy's a stud. And remember now, A.J. Brown has made it clear he's not happy that the Titans wanted to trade him. So he's going to be a great find for them. They're going to be a good football team, Philly, no question about it. But as these segments go on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid, it's all about the quarterback. And Jalen Hurts has got to make a big jump this season.
I remember you told me you got the Eagles over the Cowboys in the NFC. Great work this week, Adam. Thank you, brother.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Pharrellavidians love the fast forward Pharrell in your facial Pharrella finish. Adrian Broner wants to fight Floyd Mayweather because he believes they both can earn $100 million. Now, Adrian Broner is the male organ of the month club. Like, honestly, dude, you are such a gigantic dildo. I mean, honestly, bro. I mean, you're fighting in like a parking lot this week, with a lighter as the lights. Fedor saying a retirement fight likely in January of 23. When are they gonna bag this guy already? They've been talking about this guy retiring for 20 years. Can we put him in a body bag? Ronda Rousey suspended by the WWE, giving the business to a ref. I mean, don't they make this stuff up anyway, and you still get thrown out of the league? Ronaldo wants out of Man U. He's now requested a transfer. Iman Shumpert busted at a Texas airport with 6 ounces of dope in his bag and a full magazine clip of ammunition but no gun. He asked the Popo if he could still get his flight to L.A. to pick up his daughters at the airport. They said no, and he went to jail. Argentine player arrested gets a lifetime ban after an attack on a female ref. He sucker punched her in the back of the skull. Awesome. Unsealed Depp Heard court docs reveal the actress Heard was an exotic dancer. Mafia, look up where we can go to that. Yeah, go to that club. Cognitive decline linked to ultra-processed foods. It turns out Rick Harrow is revealing that if you eat enough packaged hot dog franks, you will end up with Alzheimer's. Iran declares it can turn New York into a hellish ruins with their nuclear missiles. We can eradicate all of you with a couple of our missiles. So let's play the game. Let's play the feud. I think it'd be awesome if we killed all of them. You say that on TV, Mafia, no? GTD is next. We'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.